Today our message comes from Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. If you would please stand for the reading of the word. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "O Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you today, help us to understand your message. Open our hearts and our minds to understand and to hear, Lord, what you have to say to us. Help us to know, Lord, who you are. Bring us closer to you. Father, I pray that the words that come from my mouth be your words, not mine. Father, if necessary, use the Holy Spirit to push me completely out of the way, for we came here to see you. We came to see Jesus. Father, hide me behind the cross so that we see your Son today. Father, as we do, write your word upon our hearts. Help us to go from here and share it with others. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. A few years ago, I was sitting in bed and I was completely unable to sleep. And I go out and I start flipping channels, and I ended up watching a televangelist. And I know that sounds a little strange, but I kind of wanted to give this person a chance because I'd heard bad things about them, but I wanted to give them, you know, a fair shot. This is a televangelist who seems to have a huge following, and I'm not going to mention them by name, but I will say that every time I see him, he reminds me of a toothpaste commercial. Anyway, I'm sitting there, I'm watching, and it's late at night, and I sat there for probably 2 hours watching this. The entire time I'm getting a little bit more upset because the televangelist never really seemed to refer to Scripture except for once. And when he was referring to Scripture, he referred to a passage in 2 Kings, and this is exactly how he said it. This is what he said. Because he didn't actually read the passage, he just sort of explained it. He said, in the story of Elijah, just before he was taken up to heaven, he asked his servant what he wanted. His servant then answered, "I want double your inheritance." And the televangelist said, "See, Elijah's servant asked for double, and so you too can ask God and get double for it." I sat there, I was stunned by this logic. And how about you? I mean, according to this guy, I can ask God for double and I can get it. So, woohoo, I want 2 Lamborghinis. Do you think God will get those to me this week? I mean, that sounds great, doesn't it? I really want stuff in this world, and if I can ask for double and get it, well, shoot, why not? I mean, that's what God's all about, right? Just giving me whatever I want. And isn't that why we come to church? Don't we just come here to learn how to ask God for free stuff? But if that's the case, and we're getting all this free stuff, why aren't we all millionaires? I certainly don't have $1 million sitting in my bank account. I don't know about the rest of you. But I mean, if we come to God to get stuff and to get stuff more abundantly, why aren't we all super rich? Why aren't we all like Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos or Warren Buffett or Mark Zuckerberg or maybe some of these wonderful super rich celebrities like Tiger Woods and Jay-Z, David Copperfield or Oprah Winfrey? This list of people that I just mentioned consists of some of the wealthiest people in the world. Why are they so rich? Why do they have so much stuff, so much money? Maybe it's because they're really good Christians. Maybe they just have more faith than the rest of us. I'm certain that's got to be the explanation, right? They just have more faith. I mean, I'm sure if I had the faith of Bill Gates, I would have more of everything too. Except, how is that possible? I mean, how is it possible that Bill Gates has so much faith when he isn't even a Christian? Actually, if we look at this list of people that I just went over, there are many of them that probably wouldn't even claim that they're truly a Christian. So if we come to church to get good stuff, and these people have all this good stuff, but they don't go to church, how could they possibly have more faith? I mean, actually, if you really think about it, they don't have any faith in God. They don't have any faith in Jesus. They don't believe in Christ. So how could they have faith that brings them all this good stuff? Well, maybe it's a different kind of faith. You know, I'm not really sure if that's actually the truth either. But one thing is for certain, they have the world, don't they? They've got all sorts of money and the ability to do stuff with it. And they seem to have the world fooled into thinking that they have it all. And the world itself even seems to honor them. It even honors them beyond things that we feel are really good. I'll give you an example of what I mean by this. How many of you remember who Princess Diana was? And most of us probably remember who she was. I remember watching her. I remember the big pomp and circumstance of the day that she married Prince Charles. And I remember in 1997 watching TV, and suddenly there was this emergency break. And the news on every channel broke through, and they announced that Princess Diana had died in a horrible car accident in France. Everything, the whole world just stopped for a moment to discuss this. And I remember thinking that was really sad. However, 7 days later, actually less than 7 days later, does anybody know who died? Anybody know who of importance passed away within that same week? Most people don't, because it wasn't breaking news. It was a small blurb on the nightly news. It was one of those things that just passes over. But on September 5th, 1997, Mother Teresa passed away. And it was not breaking news. They didn't stop all the TV shows and break in and say, Mother Teresa has passed away. It was not something that was earth-shattering that everybody had to know immediately. But Princess Diana, well, that was something else. We have to stop everything and report on her death. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Princess Diana wasn't a good person or a wonderful, caring person. I'm sure that she did many wonderful things in her time. But if we're to compare the two people, if we're to compare Princess Diana to Mother Teresa, it's really no contest, is it? Mother Teresa spent her whole life caring for the poor and the needy and the sick. She lived with them. She fought off many diseases in her own body to just help care for other people. And yet, did Elton John write a song about her? Did the world stop to honor Mother Teresa? No, it stopped everything to announce Princess Diana's death. And the other, well, it just yawns and goes on. See, the one thing about the world is that it seems to put faith back into itself. It likes to feed itself and likes to feed its ego. And they seem to expect to get riches and fame and fortune from feeding on themselves. But what about those who claim that they have faith in God? What about those who really say, I really, really believe, and they're out there telling everybody about it and making big deals about it and screaming it and everything? And you ever meet those kind of people? Oh, I have faith in God, don't you? Don't you have faith in God? Everyone should have faith in God. Those people who claim their faith almost too loudly. You know, the ones who kind of, I guess the term would be name it and claim it. I remember when I was talking to Mitzi about this message, she told me about a friend of hers in high school, or no, college, who liked to say, me and God, we're like this. Me and God, we have it. We're together. We're close. As if she somehow had some sort of special in with God that the rest of us didn't have. You know these kind of people, they sometimes act as if they're better because they're closer to God than you are. The question that always comes to me when I meet people like that is, do they really have faith, or do they just work extra hard to look like they have that faith? Now, I don't want to judge people, because I understand that there are some people who are very excited about the way they feel about God and want to share it with everyone. But sometimes I wonder if those people in their faith, if it would fail them if God didn't give them what they asked for. If, you know, up to this point they'd gotten everything and then suddenly God doesn't give them what they asked for and their faith just would fail. You know, we look at these two contrasts and we can get hung up on these things. We can get hung up on they have more stuff than I do. They have more faith than I do. Maybe I should act more like those things. Maybe I should work harder. We get hung up on the things that we feel we want in this world. We get hung up on the image we want others to see. We want them to see as if our faith is so strong that we get whatever we ask God for. But is that what we should be hung up on? Is that what we should be focused on? Should we be focused on things or our image? Or should we be hung up instead on Jesus? Should we be humbled by the grace that he has given us? As I was writing this, and I admit I was struggling with some of this message, this popped up in Facebook, and I couldn't believe it because it was so powerful, and I looked it up. Charles Spurgeon, I don't know if any of you know who he is, he once said, while others are congratulating themselves, I have to sit humbly at the foot of the cross and marvel that I'm saved at all. I want to say that again. While others are congratulating themselves, I have to sit humbly at the foot of the cross and marvel that I am saved at all. It is that Jesus died for us that is so amazing. It is that he died for lowly, horrible, awful sinners like ourselves. And when I think about it, it humbles me. Because it's not some worldly gift that is that we're looking forward to. It is his great gift of salvation that brings me back. And it does. It brings me back, right back to this passage that we read today. To a woman who's crying out with all of her soul because she just wants to have her child saved. And she's not seeking some huge gift. She's not seeking a whole bunch of worldly treasure. And at no point does she go up and say, Jesus, my faith is so great that I'm worthy of anything that you give me. No, instead, she's on her knees, begging, pleading, crying with her entire soul. And she's pleading for the crumbs. Just the little itty-bitty crumbs that would fall off of the Lord's table. See, she's not asking for everything. She's just asking for anything that he'll give her. Any little thing that the Lord would just be willing to scrape off his table and feed to those who are unworthy. I wish I could be like that sometimes. When I was talking earlier about the second king story of Elijah, In that story, Elijah and his servant Elisha are sitting next to each other, and Elijah is about to ascend into heaven, and he asks Elisha, he says to him, "What would you have your inheritance be?" And Elisha says, "Double your portion." He's not asking for a bunch of worldly gifts. What he is saying, "I want to go out and do double what you did for God. I want to go out and do more for the Lord than you did." It wasn't a matter of wanting to get more for himself. It was wanting to honor God even more. This poor woman is humbly asking for the crumbs off the floor. She asks basically to be treated like a dog. And what is Jesus' response? "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done as you desire." Even the littlest amount of faith, even that of begging to be the lowliest servant, the lowliest creature in the house, is better than anything that we will get here on earth. So when we weigh our faith, we have to ask ourselves, do we want the faith of this world, or do we want the crumbs of Jesus? Do we want to be congratulating ourselves, or do we want to be sitting humbly at the foot of the cross, marveling, being amazed, and being humbled because we're saved? Do we want riches here, or do we want to rest in the arms of the one whose measly crumbs are more sufficient than anything we have here? Whose measly crumbs give us the salvation that we don't deserve. I'm humbled to know that our answer is, "Give me Jesus." Let us rest in that. Let us live knowing that the crumbs from our Master's table are worth more than any gold or silver we will receive here. Let us trust in our great Redeemer, in our Savior, in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I just pray for your crumbs. I pray and I'm humbled beyond belief, Lord, that you have saved us, that you have given us everything that is more than sufficient to bring us close to you, to bring us home and into the arms of you. Help us to rest in that, Lord. Help us to show others that so that they may have that same joy, Lord, knowing that even your crumbs are worth more than anything we have here. Father, we love you and we say all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.